Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and your Rexall family druggist.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist with some especially good news. Next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we Rexall druggists are having our famous 1 cent sale. Most of you already know what that 4-day sale can do for the family budget, but in case you don't, here's how it works. On those 4 days, at every store that has the orange and blue Rexall sign in the window, you can get 2 famous guaranteed Rexall products for the price of 1, plus 1 cent. That's right, twice as much for only a penny more. Now, these savings apply to 279 different items, all the way from antiseptics to toothpaste, from cold cream to cough syrup, from aspirin to shampoos. And remember, these are Rexall products, and you can depend on any drug product that bears the Rexall name.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Contrary to popular belief, Phil Harris is a hard-working conductor who demands perfection from his orchestra. Right now, we find him in the library of his home, rehearsing one of his musicians.
Look, you still haven't got it. Now, I know you're new with my band, but you've got to learn to do things my way. That's what I like about the South. It's traditional with me, and it's got to be played in a certain tempo. Now, let's try it my way once. I'll give you the introduction. Ba da 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 dee doodle da 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 doodle da 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 do. Ba, won't you come with me to a... No, no, lady. No, lady. No. Lady, please. No, I guess I was wrong. You can't play the harp my way. Put on your shoes and try it with your hands again. Why does Remley hire people like this? I can't understand. He knows very well.
Bill, would you please come in here a minute?
Okay, honey. Look, lady, if you're going to accompany me when I sing, you got to do it right. Now, look, I'll be right back. You stay here and keep practicing on that cabbage shredder. To think that I'm stuck with this dame for a whole year. Why did Frankie have
Phil,
to
I want to talk to you. I've got to talk to you about Phyllis. She won't eat her lunch.
Won't eat?
No.
Why not?
Well, she has a boyfriend.
A boyfriend? Well, at long last. You know, I was getting kind of worried about her. She's 5 years old and she hasn't had a date yet.
Oh, Phil, be serious. I've tried to get her to eat, but she won't listen.
I'll handle it, honey. It takes a father to get a... I'll get the kid to listen. When I tell her something, she knows who's talking. Don't worry. Hey, Phyllis!
Yes, Calvin?
Look, Phyllis, I want... Calvin? Who's Calvin?
He's the man I'm going to marry.
Oh, him. I... What?
Calvin and I are being engaged today.
All right, that'll keep. Now, you sit down and eat.
I can't eat, Father. My little curly head can't think of food when my heart is so full of love.
Oh, no. My little curly head can't think of food when my heart is so full of love. Where'd she ever get anything that corny?
Out of one of the old love letters you wrote to me. It is corny, isn't it?
Well, from a child, yes.
Calvin.
From me, it sounds kind of cute.
Phil, we've got to get Phyllis to eat.
She'll eat when she gets hungry. I'm worried about her boyfriend. Well, he's a bore to me already. And I'm worried about her. Where'd she meet him? What's he like? Who's his family? Is his father on the same intellectual level as I am? What does the old man do?
He's an associate professor of zoology at UCLA.
Zoology, huh? Well, it isn't fair to look down on him because of his job. After all, somebody has to feed the animals.
Professor, and his son Calvin is a very nice little boy. Phyllis brought him in and introduced him to me the other day.
Oh, she did, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't she introduce him to me? Who's the man in this house? Who runs things around here? Who's been supporting this family for the last 8 years? Wait! I better revamp that. No, but the least my daughter can do is to introduce her boyfriend to her father. What's the matter? Is she ashamed of me?
Oh, Phil, don't be so touchy. She just brought him in and... Come to think of it, she made sure you weren't around before she brought him in.
Well, when a daughter's ashamed of her own father, a man has reached the end of his tether.
Oh, Phil.
Well, if I wasn't such an asset to mankind, I'd destroy myself. I never heard of anything like it, Alice, and I'm hurt. I never felt worse in my life.
Good morning, Philip.
That ain't gonna help either.
Hello, Alice, dear. I just met Phyllis and she introduced me to her boyfriend. Isn't he cute, Philip?
I wouldn't know.
He's a fine little fellow that... what's his name?
Calvert.
Calvin.
Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't been introduced to him.
You haven't? Well, what reason would Phyllis have for not introducing him to you?
I don't know. It seems that she's ashamed of me.
Oh, of course.
What do you mean? What's she got to be ashamed of me for? Is she ashamed because I'm a musician? Is she ashamed of the way I talk? Is she ashamed of the way I dress? Now, look, Casper. There ain't nothing wrong with me being a musician. I talk as good as anybody, and I dress impeccably.
Phil, maybe it is your clothes she objects to. Only yesterday, I found her in your closet looking at your wardrobe and shaking her head.
But why? I could understand it if I was a loud dresser. I don't own a single loud garment.
Oh, now, look, even you must admit that some of the clothes you brought back from London are outlandish.
Well, wait a minute now. Just a minute. You're going a little too far. I'm proud of my English clothes.
Including that double-breasted vest you got over there?
Vest? Oh, I say, old girl, you must be referring to my waistcoat. You Americans are so droll.
Oh, no. We spent 2 weeks in London and... Oh, excuse me.
Wait a minute now. Just wait a minute. I want to talk to you. And Alice, Alice, come back here.
Sorry, Governor. I've got me work to do, you know.
The nerve of her ridiculing my beautiful red and yellow plaid waistcoat. Why, it's the pride of my wardrobe. Hey, tell me the truth, Willie. Did you ever see anything like it?
Yes, once when I was at the slaughterhouse, I saw them...
Never mind! Take your umbrella and rubbers and go home. I can't understand why Phyllis avoids me. I'm a pal to her. Last night, before she went to sleep, I told her the story of the Jabberwocky bird from Alice in Wonderland.
What's that?
Curl up in the fireplace and I'll tell it to you. One time there was a mountaineer who felt so mighty brave that he took his trusty gun and went to a dark, dark cave. The reason for his venture was a story that he'd heard about a bad, ferocious creature called the Jabberwocky Bird. Now, when he got into that dreary cave, our hunter saw a sight. The Jabberwocker had seven heads, and each one was a fright. He turned around and headed home, a-running all the way. And then to all the folks who waited there, the mountaineer did say, 'Twas Brilly Gander, Slyly Toves, did Gyre and Gimble in the Wabe. Old Mimsy were the Borogroves, and the more he raps out Grabe. Oh, Frabjous Day, Kaloo Kalay, and Frumious Bandersnatch. My aim was spoiled by seven heads, but that bird I will catch.' Then back again into the cave that mountaineer did go, but how he'd finally get that bird he really didn't know. This time the mountaineer was armed with knives and traps and bait. He had to catch that Jabberwocker, meet a sorry fate. Inside the cave, that gruesome bird confronted him once more. The mountaineer had seven fits and fell to the floor. He offered up a hasty prayer and murmured, 'It's the end.' But seven Jabberwockies said, 'Can't we please be friends?' They brilliged in the Slyly Tove, and Gyre and Gibber in the Wabe. We'll Mimsy in the Borogroves, and the Mommy Rats out Grabe. Oh, Frabjous Day, Kaloo Kalay, and Frumious Bandersnatch. The mountaineer said, 'You mean we're pals?' And seven heads said, 'Natch.' Now the mountaineer just shook his head, he couldn't trust his ears. The Jabberwocky's seven pairs of eyes were filled with tears. The ugly bird broke down and sobbed, 'The witch made me like this. And Jabberwocky I must be until a man I kiss.' The mountaineer could not resist that bird's unhappy plea. He bravely puckered up his lips and said, 'You'll soon be free.' They kissed and seven heads became just one of golden curls. The ugly Jabberwock was then the prettiest of girls. They brillied in the Slyly Toves, and Gyre and Gimbered in the Wabe. They mimsied in the Borogroves, and the Moree Raffs out Grabe. Oh, Frabjous Day, Kaloo Kalay, and Frumious Bandersnatch. The couple now have seven kids, and that is quite a badge. Well, that's the story, and, well, look at Willie, sound asleep. With his ruler and pencil in his mouth. I got a fine family. He falls asleep while I'm singing. Alice finds fault with my clothes, and worst of all, my daughter avoids me. I ain't got a friend in the world.
Hi, Curly.
Frankie, it's you.
Yeah, that's me. I just dropped in to say hello.
Yeah. But it means more than just hello to me right now. A real friend seems to know when to show up, doesn't he?
If you say so.
You know something? There's a silent bond between us, Remley. You didn't know I needed you, and yet you came here. Why? Why?
Well, the pool room was closed. I had no place else to... Curly, what's bothering you?
Oh, Frankie, little Phyllis has a boyfriend, and she won't even bring him in to meet me.
Philly got a boyfriend? That ought to make you proud.
Well, it does, but I'd be prouder if I could meet my son-in-law.
Well, don't rush it. Phyllis will introduce him to you eventually. You know, you're not the kind of a guy anyone can meet too suddenly. You got time.
That's just it. I haven't got as much time as you think. The kids are growing up. Why, in no time, Phyllis will have a steady boyfriend. She'll get engaged, and before I know it, I'll be taking her up to the altar to give her away to another man. She'll be walking down the aisle on my arm. Then the minister will take their hands and join them in together. We'll take our love together to a sky where we can be alone. Julius, go away, will you? I got enough troubles. My daughter Phyllis is ashamed of me.
No.
Yes. And feeling the way she does about me, there's no telling what little Phyllis might do. Hey, look, Julius, you're a kid. If I were your father, what would you do?
I'd never talk to my mother again.
Curly, you know, if what you say is true and you're standing in the way of your child's happiness, there's only one thing for you to do.
What's that?
Clear out. Leave home.
Yeah. Tibet's nice this time of the year.
Well, if it meant their happiness, I'd even leave home and I'd... No.
Huh?
No, I can't. If I went away, who'd take care of Alice and the kids?
Well, seeing as Julius and me are in on that, Julius and me will share that responsibility. We'll take care of your wife and kid.
Yeah, I'll take care of Miss Faye.
I'll take care of the kid.
No! No, you don't. This is my idea. I get first choice.
I'm too young to take care of kids. I'm going to take care of Miss Faye.
No, you're not. I'm arranging this thing, and I'm...
Hold it, hold it. Now, look here, you guy.
Oh, are you back? I thought you were in Tibet.
Now, cut that out. I got a problem, and you two guys ain't helping me any. Oh, if I could only find out for sure why Phyllis is ashamed of me.
Why don't you make her tell you?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's exactly what I'll do. I'll make her tell me if I have to spank it out of her.
Mr. Harris, such barbarianism. That ain't the subtle way to handle us little tykes. You gotta remember that our immature minds are delicate mechanisms that must be approached with discreet finesse. The sensitivity of our juvenile brains has a hairline precision, and nothing must be done to upset that equilibrium. Don't you gentlemen agree?
Monsieur Remley, voulez-vous très bien avec moi ce soir?
Je ne sais pas, mais beaucoup
l'aime. Hey, you guys, look at me!
We will if you will.
All I'm trying to tell you is you should approach this psychologically. You understand that way, don't you?
Of course I do. What do you think I am, a dope or something? Monsieur Remley, hey. Voulez-vous très bien...
Ah, what's the use? I'm leaving.
Goodbye, Julius.
Bon sour, Philippe.
Hey, Remley. What was that little character batting about?
He means you should use child psychology on Phyllis.
Child what?
Psychology. Simple. It's a... Well, it's an approach to... That is, you... You got any books here on it?
Yeah, Alice must have. Let's look at that book, those books in the shelves.
All right, let me see. Ah, here it is, Curly. Psychiatry and its application.
I thought you said the word was psychology.
Psychology, psychiatry, same thing.
You sure?
Do I ever lead you wrong, Curly?
Real.
Ah, look, here's the chapter you want. Treatment of the Female Patient.
Let me see that book.
Here you are, right there.
Where were you reading?
Here.
Oh, yeah, I see. Wait a minute. The patient must be approached scientifically.
That's what we want.
Yeah, we suggest asking the following questions until the patient is...
Can I go out and... Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. I didn't know you were here.
Wait a minute, Phyllis. Come on in here. Come back. Look, I want to ask you a few questions.
About what?
Well, about... Wait till I look at the book. Oh, yeah. Now, look, young lady, lie down on this couch. Give your subconscious mind full rein and tell me all about your sordid past.
Huh? What does sordid mean, Daddy?
Well, it means, Monsieur Remley, voulez-vous très bien?
I'll ask her.
Ask me what, Uncle Frankie?
Now. Just relax, child. We're trying to help you. Now then, tell me. Why do you hate your mother?
I don't hate my mommy.
She ain't cooperating.
Oh, give me back that, will you? Here. Give it to me. Now look, honey, this is almost the last question. Now listen closely. When did you first notice your marital incompatibility? Well, don't stall. Answer me. You know what it means, don't you?
Well, Monsieur Remley, voulez-vous...
Stop that! Hey, Remley, incidentally, what is that marital incompatibility?
Curly, your ignorance is appalling. It's really very simple. The word marital refers to marching music for soldiers. The word compatible means to fight, therefore incompatible means not to fight. Put them together and we have a phrase meaning a soldier who does not want to fight.
Sounds logical. Phyllis, I'm going to have to rephrase my last question. Now listen. When did you first become a draft dodger?
No. Don't sound right when you say it, Curly. The question should be asked so that
the patient... quiet, Remley, draft dodger. You and your psychology. I'll handle this thing my way. Now look, Phyllis. I'm going to come right out and ask you. Why are you ashamed to introduce me to your boyfriend? It can't be because of my clothes. You said you love my English vest.
Yes? Oh, Daddy, I'd rather not talk about it. See you later, Daddy.
Well.
Well.
I guess I got my answer. She just doesn't like my clothes.
Guess not.
And there's only one thing for me to do. If it means my child's happiness, I'll get rid of my entire wardrobe. I'm going to give it all to charity.
What did you say to Phyllis? She came out shaking like a leaf.
I know, honey. I'm sorry, but I at least found out what's bothering her, and I'm going to fix it. It's my clothes she's ashamed of, so I'm going to send my entire wardrobe to the Salvation Army.
Well, what are you picking on them for? They never did anything to you.
All right, all right. I won't give them to them. I'll give them to the Musicians Union.
Those guys will wear anything. I'll help you pack, and I'll take the stuff over to the Union Hall.
Oh, thanks, Frankie. You're a pal. Let's do it. Hey, see you later, honey. Gee, I hate to part with my beautiful English waistcoat.
Phil, I think you're being a little hasty. Oh, well, it's no use. Once he makes up his mind, what a guy.
Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, but I won't say who. Big and strong, bold and gay. He's not very, very far away. I would marry him today, but who he is, I will not say. Because I love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, but I won't say who.
Love somebody, love somebody, love somebody,
love somebody, but I won't say who. Handsome, say he's 6 feet tall, and his picture's on my wall. Hope he doesn't pass me by, 'cause if he did, I'd die. I know I'd die.
Love somebody.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody.
You know I do.
Love somebody.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody, but I won't say who. Don't know why he acts so shy.
'Cause he's such a manly guy.
Hope he doesn't pass her by.
'Cause if he did, I'd die. I know I'd die. I
love somebody.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody.
Yes, I do.
I love somebody, but I won't say.
Well, Alice, Frankie took all my loud clothes over to Union Hall.
Phil, I don't think
No. From now on, I'm the new Harris. I'm going to be more formal, like this here suit I got on. Yes, sir. If you'll excuse me now, I'm going out and meet Phyllis's boyfriend.
Phil.
Yeah?
Do you think you ought to go out 3 o'clock in the afternoon wearing a tuxedo?
Well, honey, it's the only dark suit I got. Now, come on with me. I want you to introduce me to the boy. Hey. I hope I make a good impression on my future son-in-law. I wonder where they are.
Phil, there's Phyllis and her boyfriend sitting on the swing.
Yeah.
Cute, huh?
Yeah, they're swinging.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a nice-looking boy.
Mm-hmm.
Good-shaped head. Not too pointed. Shh, Alice. Hey, Alice. You wait here. I'm going to sneak up behind them and see if I can hear what they're saying.
But Calvin when men and women get engaged, they're supposed to kiss. Now kiss me.
Oh, stop nagging.
But you have to do something when you get engaged.
Let's wrestle. Come on, I'll get up and show you some new holds. Hey, Phyllis, did you order a lemonade or something?
No, why?
There's a waiter standing in back of you.
Waiter?
Oh, Calvin, this is my daddy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Harris. I didn't know.
Oh, that's all right, Calvi. So you're engaged to my daughter, huh? Have a cigar, son. Say, let me look at you. You're...
Daddy, Calvin has to go now.
I do not.
Please go, Calvin, before he notices you're wearing his V-E-S-T.
Shh! You'll get W-I-S-E.
Ain't that cute? Spelling out their words of endearment. Hey, Cal, don't go. I want to know you better. I like your looks. Gee whiz, you're so manly and awful sloppy dresser, though. Hey, tell me, kid, is that a double-breasted life jacket you're wearing, or... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's my English waistcoat. Now, where'd you get that?
I gave it to him as an engagement present. Daddy, you see, we both like what you wear so much that I thought that
Phyllis,
you best...
You like my clothes? You mean you didn't introduce Calvin to me because he was wearing... Oh, no. I gave everything away, and you gave him my waistcoat.
Don't worry, Daddy. We got something even better in return. Calvin gave me the most beautiful engagement present a girl ever got.
Yeah? What did he give you?
A pair of matched frogs.
My English waistcoat for two frogs? Phyllis, it's not a fair exchange.
You're right, Daddy. Calvin, here's one of your frogs back.
This is your Rexall family druggist again, and that about winds things up for tonight, so...
Oh, wait a minute, please.
Yeah?
I'd like to find out a little more about Rexall's one-cent sale.
Well, it starts next Wednesday, and it goes on through Saturday. The year's four biggest bargain days at every drugstore with the orange and blue Rexall sign in the window.
And that's the sale where I get two products for the price of one plus 1 cent?
That's right. Just a penny more buys twice as much. Pick our 100-tablet bottle of Rexall Pure Test Aspirin, for instance. Ordinarily, it sells for 49 cents, but during the 1 cent sale, you can get two bottles for only 50 cents. All through our stores, we'll have bargains like that. 279 of them, ranging all the way from cough syrup to shaving cream.
Sounds wonderful. I'll be saving my pennies for Wednesday.
That's a good idea. They'll double your buying power during Rexall's 1 cent sale. Good night, folks. Don't forget, folks, the year's biggest drugstore bargain event starts Wednesday. Rexall's famous 1 cent sale at 10,000 Rexall drugstores throughout the nation. Look for the orange and blue Rexall sign in the window, then step inside and save. This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Bill Forman wishing good health to all from Rexall. Sunday is fun day on NBC. Stay tuned to this station for the Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy show, which follows immediately.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.